This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Biden still has COVID. Don't care. We have Lee Zeldin. Someone tried to kill him last week. We'll talk about that. A great light in the mood. Lots of fun tonight on I'm Right. Joe Biden's had COVID since last week. Still has COVID. And I don't care. I don't care. In fact, I think it's kind of hilarious. And let me clarify why I think it's hilarious. One, I'm allowed to come here, thank you to the first, and I'm allowed to tell you whatever I'm thinking every single day. I never get in trouble. I've never had that phone call, don't say that again, the text message, we're not comfortable. I'm allowed to say whatever I want. That's one. Two, I am not burdened by how the communist views me. The communist, remember, we've had this talk a bunch before, he uses your values against you. He has done this successfully to the American right for decades. Well, that's not very Christian of you. That's not what Jesus said. Yes, the abortion-loving demon is very concerned about what Jesus said. He doesn't care about what Jesus said. He cares about making you bend the knee and bow. Joe Biden got COVID. I don't give a crap. For a couple different reasons, I don't give a crap. One, COVID's not that serious. I'm tired of pretending it is. I'm tired of playing this game that we're supposed to act as if this is the Black Plague and everyone who gets it is going to die. Joe Biden is president of the United States of America, has access to the greatest doctors in the world, endless medications. He's going to have the sniffles for a couple days. I'm tired of pretending it's news whenever someone gets COVID. It's just not that important. It's not. And the second part of why I don't care is something I'm not going to let go. I'm never, ever, ever going to let this go. What I'm about to play for you, you'll remember it, it'll look familiar. This is one of the nastiest, most divisive things I have ever heard out of the mouth of any president of the United States of America in the history of our country. This is a vile, vicious thing to say.
You've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin. And your refusal has cost all of us.
Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. No, I mean, come on.
Because the people who are spreading the disease are basically the unvaccinated. We got to take care of it.
The beginning of that is what gets me. We've been patient. Our patience is wearing thin. Who the hell do you think you are? Our patience is wearing thin? And then the president of the United States of America points to half the country and wrongly, not scientific at all, blames them for the pandemic. And so now Joe Biden on his 19th booster shot gets COVID and I'm supposed to what, wish him well? I don't wish him well. I don't give a crap that he has COVID. I think it's hilarious he has COVID. I don't have to wish him well. He's gonna be fine anyway. I remember what a vicious, nasty, divisive piece of crap Joe Biden has been for his less than 2 years in office already. So don't think you're ever going to get me, use my values against me, and tell me I need to, good luck, Mr. President, when he gets COVID, because I don't give a crap. And one of the funniest parts was Well, I mean, here.
And as you all saw just a few minutes ago, the president is doing better. He slept well last night. He ate his breakfast and lunch. He actually showed me his plate.
Am I supposed to think that's cute and funny, like the clapping seals there in the press office that the President of the United States of America is discussed by his doctor on camera as if he's a two-year-old, and I finally got him to eat his pudding? He ate, guys, and he showed me his plate. This is the same president who has to be led around by the arm wherever he goes, never knows which direction to go off stage. I'm supposed to find this cute? I'm sorry, he's the leader of the free world. I don't find it cute. I don't find it endearing. Jill, where are my diapers? I don't get entertainment from this. This doesn't please me. This is the president of the United States of America. And isn't it funny? Isn't it funny how COVID, when Joe Biden gets it, is not a big deal? Do you remember it was supposed to be a really big deal when Trump got it?
The president of the United States now confirming to the world that he and the first lady of the United States have both tested positive for the coronavirus.
This may be the most dangerous moment that the U.S. government has ever faced.
President Trump is trying to convince Americans that he is getting better.
A pale and slightly hoarse President Trump
publicly ripping off his mask.
He is not able to fully perform his duties as commander-in-chief.
Hundreds of thousands of Americans who died horrible deaths under his watch.
It was a code red moment for the U.S. government.
This is a nightmare scenario for the West Wing.
Everybody else, the rest of the people of the United States of America, don't get to do what you do. President Biden has COVID and is experiencing mild symptoms. I'm sure we all wish him a speedy recovery.
The president is generally a healthy person.
I want to send get well wishes to our thank the Lord and 81 million voters current president.
We are doing this very differently than I would argue than the last administration.
And we all know what the game is, because I'm not going to do the media hypocrisy thing, because they know they're hypocrites. That doesn't do any good. Remember, we don't bother with, oh, look how hypocritical they are. What I'm pointing out is, look at how COVID was always simply politics for them. They were never worried about the disease. They were never worried about getting it. They were never worried about spreading it. They're only interested in coronavirus up to the point it can be advantageous for them politically. And speaking of Joe Biden and that clip we played earlier, and the unvaccinated are the ones who are spreading it, well, we obviously know that's a lie now. We know, I see the hospital numbers now, we know the majority of people hospitalized with COVID in the United States of America, the majority, comfortably, are vaccinated people. Okay, so we have a vaccine that doesn't at all work like a vaccine, and in fact, by the looks of things, it doesn't work at all, and some evidence out there that it may make things worse, which brings me back to somebody by the name of Dr. Birx. Maybe you remember her. You see, she was deeply involved in telling every single American to ruin every part of their life, and then deeply involved in telling everybody to go get vaccinated. And now she feels completely comfortable going on TV and saying, whoopsie!
I knew these vaccines were not going to protect against infection, and I think we overplayed the vaccines, and it made people then worry that it's not going to protect against severe disease and hospitalization. It will, but let's be very clear. 50% of the people who died from the Omicron surge were older, vaccinated.
You're a public health official. Due in large part to your advice, people watching me right now have had their lives upended and ruined. Careers over. We have children in the country now having to have EKGs before they are allowed to play youth sports because we have such a heart problem. We have an infertility crisis worldwide that we're in the beginning stages of, and one of the people mainly responsible for pushing that stuff out there feels completely comfortable going on TV and saying, hey, I knew they were never going to prevent infection. This is why we have to have a reckoning. This is why Dr. Birx, I'm not trying to be over the top, Dr. Birx needs to be arrested and put on trial for crimes against humanity, and she needs to spend the rest of her life in federal prison, because the next public health official who chooses to do something like that needs to have something in the back of their mind stopping them from doing what she did. I mean, and you know what? I misspoke about people who lost their jobs. People are losing their jobs. More than 200 people just got fired in New York for refusing the vaccine. Did you know that we are on the verge of hemorrhaging 260,000 soldiers from the armed forces in this country? They're partially vaccinated, in case you're wondering why. These are soldiers who initially went out, got the first dose, whatever propaganda campaign, intimidated into it, didn't like how they were feeling after, and decided not to get the second dose. They're on the verge of going bye-bye. We are on the verge of losing 27.5% of the U.S. Army alone. Oh, did I mention? We're also potentially in World War III, because China is going to invade Taiwan. Former CIA guys are even saying it.
I wouldn't underestimate, President Xi's determination to assert China's control, the People's Republic of China's control over Taiwan. I think he's determined to ensure that his military has the capability to undertake such an action should he decide to move in that direction. I think the risks of that become higher, it seems to us, the further into this decade that you get. I think the Chinese leadership is trying to study the lessons of Russia's invasion of Ukraine and what it tells them. I think our sense is that it probably affects less the question of whether the Chinese leadership might choose some years down the road to use force to control Taiwan, but how and when they would do it.
It's only a matter of when, which sure is a problem, because Joe Biden is on camera saying we are militarily going to step in if China does. So on top of the recession and everything else, we're going to mix in a little World War III with a 27% reduction in the U.S. Army. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. You know what else makes me uncomfortable? Political assassinations. Someone tried to kill or at least hurt Lee Zeldin last week very badly. Guy's up on federal charges now because New York couldn't keep him in jail. We're going to talk to Lee about that next, which leads me perfectly into you protecting yourself. But there's a bunch of different ways you protect yourself. Remember, what do we talk about all the time? Practice with your weapon. Make sure you have ammo. Make sure you have food, emergency food supply. Make sure you have a way to get clean water. Do you have a way to buy things if that dollar in your pocket becomes worthless? Call Oxford Gold Group. They will deliver gold and silver to your front door. To your front door. You will have the ability to buy no matter what happens. World War III, World War V. You will be able to buy. 833-995-GOLD. Tell Oxford Jesse told you to call. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
There's only one option.
You're done. Great political environment we have here now. Joining me now, the man who got up, loved this, and continued his speech after that whole thing, Congressman Lee Zeldin from New York, running against Kathy Hochul, so you know who we're rooting for there. Congressman, I've complained for a long time, especially in the past 4 or 5 years, we have a really ugly situation in this country where these Democrat leaders and the media, they always use these extreme words, Nazi, white nationalist, white supremacist. They're constantly saying these things, and then you have this group of nutballs on the bottom who act on the things the Democrats on the top say, and it's created a dangerous environment. I don't think I have to tell you.
Yeah, I was in the House when the Steve Scalise shooting took place. I serve on the House Financial Services Committee, where the committee chairperson's Maxine Waters, and she had called for confrontation of political opposition. We saw it in the last few weeks with U.S. Supreme Court justices being harassed and intimidated at their own residence. There is a trend in this country where political violence has a place inside of American politics, where the answer is, whether it's the day before an election or the day after the election, there's no room ever for political violence in any form. And it's important for all of us, everybody in government, everybody out of government who cares, and they have a medium to tell everybody that political violence in every form has no place in this country. And unfortunately, you have some people who are not taking this opportunity to tell people who follow them. And in the case, you get individuals like Maxine Waters who actually go out and say it. And then you have others who, for example, like the White House press secretary, when asked about the U.S. Supreme Court justices having their addresses doxed and people showing up at the House, instead of using that opportunity to say, this is wrong, and to set parameters to their followers to say, this is not behavior that's acceptable, instead they kind of take the pass because of what best fits the political narrative.
Well, I think it's even worse. It seems like they want it to happen, Congressman. I'm sorry, what other explanation is there for they excuse every act of violence committed by their street mob people on their side? How am I supposed to take that as anything other than tacit approval? I don't think Kathy Hochul looked at that video and had any concern for you whatsoever. I think she looked at that video and thought, good, I hope he shuts up.
Well, while that's something that you're allowed to provide that insight for, I don't have enough information in my position to be able to say that. What I will say is that it is tacit approval when the White House press secretary doesn't condemn the releasing of this information. When you don't have more people speaking up and saying, Maxine Waters, you should not say that. And then you see Maxine Waters being rewarded with a gavel. I do believe that there are people who serve in leadership, elected positions in this country, who wanted to see individuals showing up at the homes of U.S. Supreme Court justices. When they see the acts of violence targeting pro-life community centers where people are trying to provide, you know, 4D ultrasounds and counseling, I think that there are people in government elected positions who are okay with that, who do provide tacit approval for that behavior.
It seems like they want crime as well. I mean, the numbers, golly, New York's numbers, auto theft, grand larceny up almost 50%, robbery and burglary up over 30, assault up 18, rape up 11. This is a disgrace for one of our most important states. This is an absolute disgrace. And New York City is our most important city, and we've let it turn into a disaster.
Yeah, and this is something that I absolutely put right there at the foot of Kathy Hochul, because she has been asked time and again to overhaul Castle Spale. Even the New York City Mayor Eric Adams has asked for it. Kathy Hochul says that we don't have data to support it, which I couldn't possibly disagree with more. You have the Jose Alba case, where the Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg, was charging the person who is a law-abiding bodega worker who's acting in self-defense with murder, sending him to Rikers with an open stab wound, asking for hundreds of thousands of dollars in bail, and not charging the person who stabbed Jose Alba. Kathy Hochul says about Alvin Bragg, he just got there, cut him some slack, he's doing his job. With regards to the Alba case, Kathy Hochul says she's not going to get involved in that. We don't have recall in this state. The governor, though, has the constitutional authority to remove a DA who refuses to enforce the law. So Kathy Hochul's not doing her job. We have one-party Dem rule, pro-criminal Democrats, really, with their policies, there's no better way to describe it, between cashless bail, rogue DAs, and far more, and not, especially not backing our men and women in law enforcement. That is right there at the foot of those in elected government who will not lead to make sure that the streets of New York are safe.
What about the guy who attacked you? What did New York do to him?
You know, fortunately on Saturday, you had the U.S. Attorney's Office step in with more serious charges, and he ended up getting arrested. But as I spoke out right after this attack took place, and yeah, I did take the stage, I'm not going to be deterred. We kept our rally schedule up for the rest of the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday across the state. But I predicted and said it would be wrong if this attacker ends up getting released under New York's cashless bail law. And this person got charged with a felony for his attack on me, and he was within hours released right back out on the streets.
Gosh. Congressman, go get him. Stay safe out there.
You got it. Thank you.
Wow. Sandwiched, top and bottom. We have all these political leaders on the top. Nazi, white supremacists. They're trying to kill us all. And then you have all these losers on the bottom. There's so many violent, vile losers on the left. Nothing to live for, drugged out, a disaster, willing to commit acts of violence when they hear their marching orders come down from the top. It's nuts. All right, we're going to talk mass genocide still. We're going to talk to Sarah Gonzalez still. We still got a ton for you, but first, are you stuck in a timeshare? If you're stuck in a timeshare, don't think you're alone. Don't feel stupid. Oh, I should have read the fine print. They get everyone with these things. You get in, you can't get out. You have to pay special assessments. You have to pay annual fees. Some annual fees have doubled, and it's without end. They never let you go. That's why Lone Star Transfer is a favorite company of mine. They stop these ripoff artists. They'll get you out of your timeshare. They will. You know how I know that? Because they have a 99% success rate. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. 16,000 people. Lone Star Transfer will get you out of that timeshare you don't want anymore. Call 844-310-2646. 844-310-2646. They guarantee they'll get you out, and they guarantee it within a specific time frame. How's that for impressive? Call Lone Star Transfer today. Genocide. Why do I use words like genocide when I'm talking about the climate change stuff? I need to explain. Because we are truly in the beginning stages of the largest genocide in the history of mankind. And you pick your genocide. There's plenty of them to choose from, sadly. We are at the beginning stages of one that will dwarf all the others by a mile. Let me explain why, though. Energy, power. Energy is how the entire world runs. The world is built on energy. It just is. That's the way it is. When you think about the things around you, how many things all around you right now had to be made? Well, where were they made? In a factory somewhere. How were they made in a factory? The factory ran on energy. The truck needed gas to get them from the factory to the store so you can buy them. But wait, there's more. The truck itself needed energy and oil and petroleum-based things to be created. The world is built on fossil fuels. Oil, far from being a bad thing, oil is actually a miracle. I'll always believe it is a gift from God. It is a gift from God in how it has changed the standard of living of mankind. Once it was discovered and we figured out how to use it and how to apply it, it changed the standard of living of the entire planet. It is a wonderful miracle, and now the entire world is built on it. Oil, natural gas, fossil fuels, the world runs on it. It's built on it. If you're going to decide based on nothing, that oil and its byproducts are somehow destroying the earth and you have to destroy oil, that is a declaration of war on humanity itself, because humanity relies on it. Everything in your life practically comes on some level from oil. Even that electric car you drive, there's a coal plant somewhere churning that bad boy out so you can charge up your Tesla and feel better about yourself. Humanity runs on oil. You cannot declare war on fossil fuels without declaring war on humanity itself. We are talking death tolls on a level you can't possibly comprehend. 1 billion people, if not more. That's not extreme. That's the low end. And this isn't some dystopian distant future we're talking about here. 100 years from now, this is what these people might do. They have a date set. 2030. They have a date set. The United Nations has already joined with the World Economic Forum in an effort to completely wipe out the fossil fuel industry by 2030. We are in the middle of it. You will live to see it. You will watch it on your television set. You will witness mass economic dislocation. You will witness people, especially third world nations, starving to death in droves. Americans will not be free of this either. The world is built on fossil fuels. You attack them, you're actually attacking the planet. And it's so much worse than that, because right now, when we're already in this economic recession, which we are most definitely in, the communists who have surrounded Joe Biden, well, the communist loves this, and he's attacking this intentionally.
We are seeing a slowing. That is not only expected, but necessary as we operate through this transition. So that's where our focus is in terms of diagnosing the economy.
Hold on. Mr. Producer, get that clip ready again, please, because I would have sworn the president, this is his main economic advisor, references a slowing economy. Okay, slowing economy means people are getting poorer, right? I know you know that, but let's just make sure we understand what we're talking about here. He looks out at people getting poorer, at people's standard of living decreasing, and he called it, boy, I play it again, Mr. Producer, did he just call the slowing necessary?
We are seeing a slowing. That is not only expected, but necessary as we operate through this transition. So that's where our focus is in terms of diagnosing the economy.
The destruction is intentional. These people aren't looking at this potential genocide. These people aren't looking at the reduction of the standard of living of all of humanity, the death of 1 billion, 2 billion people, and saying to themselves, oh no, we can't let that happen. These people are looking at all of it and they're saying, nice, just what I wanted. Listen to this nut job telling you to stop eating milk and eggs.
Well, obviously, we need farming. We need to minimize those impacts. We need to act as drastically within that sector as any other sector to prevent the collapse of our life support systems. And what that means, above all else, is getting out of livestock farming, is really shutting down animal farming altogether, because that has massively disproportionate impacts on the living planet. And we need to switch towards other sources of food, plant-based diets, which are far more efficient, far lower environmental impacts, but also switch out of farming altogether to produce protein-rich foods. So eating meat and milk and eggs is an indulgence we cannot afford.
He sits there with his glasses on and his fancy British accent, and he discusses mass genocide. Mass genocide. That's no different than Mao sitting down on television feeling completely comfortable discussing murdering 40 million of his own countrymen with his insane communist communal farming. It's identical. If anything, it's worse. They just sit and discuss the death, mass death, like it's nothing. And this is not like it's just some wingnut on the internet. It's everywhere. The Pentagon is focused on it now.
the Pentagon has noted, not just in this administration, but even the previous one, that climate change is a national security issue.
The Pentagon. All right. We're going to talk to Sarah Gonzalez next about a lot of this insanity, the climate change death cult. Before we get to that, obviously, as I just explained, they're attacking specific industries, animal farming, the beef industry in particular. I know you see what's happening to prices. I have some bad news for you. They're going to continue to go up. My cattle rancher friends are telling me about horrible supply problems and supply chain dislocation. It's really, really bad. Fertilizer, it's really bad. I'm going to help you out. Go to goodranchers.com/Jesse and sign up. What that's going to get you is, yes, you get $25 off a box of meat for the lifetime of your subscription, every box. But that's good. That's good. But that's not the best part. The best part is you lock in your meat prices. Beef, chicken, seafood, all of it's locked in. It doesn't matter what happens in the industry, the supply chain, that this or that, your prices are locked in forever. Sounds good, huh? Goodranchers.com/Jesse gets you that deal. Go. We'll be back.
You know, the climate deniers are really in some ways similar to all of those almost 400 law enforcement officers in Uvalde, Texas, who were waiting outside an unlocked door while the children were being massacred. They heard the screams, they heard the gunshots, and nobody stepped forward.
Man, that's quite a way to use a massacre of 10-year-olds. Joining me now, my friend Sarah Gonzalez, of course, of The News and Why It Matters on The Great Blaze TV. Sarah, man, I realize they're all politicians and they're all a bunch of soulless commie monsters, but whew, that is quite a way to use dead kids.
Yeah, and well, you know, they so often say, Jesse, never let a crisis go to waste. Although the mental gymnastics Al Gore uses in this one is just absolutely reprehensible. Perhaps it could be, Jesse, the fact that they continue changing the catastrophe throughout the years. Let's look at, I wrote this down for you. 1967, it was mass starvation. 1970, it was mass extinction. 1975, it was the ice age. 1989, it was rising sea levels. Before that, it was acid rain. Then you had global cooling, global warming. And then finally, I guess they settled on climate change because they decided that would allow them to have some wiggle room when the temperatures did, in fact, change from cool to warm, because that's what we've seen it do throughout the history of the world.
Sarah, I've said it and I believe it, that these people, whether they know it or not, I believe many of them do, but these people are actually genocidal maniacs, because the result of yanking the world off of fossil fuels would kill more people than Stalin, Hitler, and Mao combined, more than they could ever dream of. We could be talking about deaths in the billions of these people, and yet they feel completely comfortable, like Jennifer Granholm does here, saying these things on television.
Right now, we are witnessing the beginning of one of the most significant events in human history, the clean energy transition. It is long overdue, and it can't progress fast enough.
Sarah, it's institutionalized genocide. How am I supposed to take it any other way?
I mean, you know, these are the same people who are talking about depopulation, I would just like to point out. So what you're saying does track with what they have been saying behind the scenes. You know, it's interesting, too, because when you look at the actions of these people who are pushing this narrative, not just Jennifer Granholm, but look at Barack Obama. He's out there talking about, you know, getting off of fossil fuels, climate change, how we're all going to be underwater. And he's buying a multi-million dollar estate on Martha's Vineyard. John Kerry is jet setting all across the world in his private jet. I don't know how much those emissions are, but he doesn't seem to care because he is, of course, above it all. These people don't believe in what they're spewing, but what they do believe in is pushing a narrative that they know is going to create suffering for the American people. They just don't care.
Sarah, how far does this go? Because we know this will collapse societies. It already is in places like Sri Lanka. Does it get to the point where a billion people die? Or do you think the public has already just about had enough of being told not to turn down the AC in the summertime and we're going to see some kind of pushback?
Yeah, I do think that we are starting to see a pushback, you know, at least here in Texas. You know, they keep giving us warnings. I know even Tesla drivers are getting warnings not to charge their cars in the middle of the day. I think that's going to resonate with all of these people who said, I'm doing this for the environment. I'm doing this because you've told me that it's for the greater good. And now you're telling me that it still isn't good enough. I think that there is going to be pushback, especially when you're talking about people who have lived in a first world society where we have had all of these comforts and we haven't had to worry about it. I think they're really going to see pushback. At least I hope so.
Sarah, grooming in America. I mean, look, I'm going to play you this video of a teacher. I don't know whether or not you've seen it yet, but I mean, they're a dime a dozen at this point in time. There are apparently a lot of teachers out there like this.
Okay, so it took a couple of days for me to make this TikTok without crying, because that's what I do. Please ignore the dog bone crunching behind me. Anyhow, one of my students felt safe enough to share his pronouns with me. And when he did so, once the class knew that I knew, they all switched pronouns. They're second graders. Like, I'm torn between being really, really happy to be a safe space and just absolutely furious that an entire group of second graders has to keep this secret from not safe people.
Sarah, that human being has to go to prison. I mean, we're in a society now where I'm supposed to be told that whatever that thing is normal and right, but that thing has to go to prison. And there are apparently tons of these teachers across the country now.
Yeah, Jesse, I would like to also point out they always look like this. Why do they always look like this? I think that it's the demonic energy taking over them. Look, these people know they have been infiltrating for a very long time, because these people know at the end of the day, the way that they get to your children is through the schools, through the public education system. And so, you know, I will say if there was some, there are a few silver linings for COVID. I will say the silver lining in COVID was at least that children were at home and they were doing online learning, and it tipped off a lot of parents to what was going on behind closed doors. And you know what? The left can never just course correct. So what these teachers did was that they doubled down and they took to places like TikTok and Instagram to just show off all of this disgusting display of trying to indoctrinate our children. Again, I think that it's going to blow up in their face, because as we're seeing, parents are done with it. They're showing up at school board meetings. They're flipping districts who were heavily blue to red because they've said, you're not going to take control of our children. Hopefully this has awakened enough of the mama bears and the papa bears to say enough is enough and get these people out of schools and where they belong, in prison.
Sarah, have we all, probably myself included, gotten way too comfortable with people who voluntarily associate themselves with our kids? We think we can hand our kids off to people for here and hand our kids off there, and I'm going to drop them off at T-ball and I'm going to go take them to second grade. And the truth is, we should be doing a lot more vetting than we're doing with the people we leave our children with.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, Jesse, I want to tell you a quick story. My son was at a charter school previously, and he had a new teacher, and this new teacher just was weird to me. We met him, and he was odd, and he just seemed off, and so I did some digging. As a parent, just a regular parent, I found his Facebook, and I found on his Facebook page, there were very weird likes that he had, a lot of anime porn, a lot of young girl anime porn, and I had to send this over to the school so that the school was alerted. And of course, at that point, they went and fired him. But it took me doing the digging as a parent. Why is this not already happening in schools? It's absolutely, absolutely reprehensible. There's absolutely no excuse for it.
Good grief. All right.
By the way, my son does not go to that school anymore.
Good. That's good. Speaking of evil, here's Vice President Dome.
Listen, women are getting pregnant every day in America, and this is a real issue, and we need to act with a sense of haste.
Women getting pregnant is a real issue? Sarah, is there some kind of crisis on our hands here?
I love that they act like women getting pregnant is like it's some virus that we're getting infected with, and then we just become pregnant. It certainly couldn't be a consequence of a direct action that is being taken. Yet, no, it's not actually a crisis. Again, I know as much as the left wants to depopulate all of us, it is not a crisis. I will say what's happening in Texas. I don't know if you saw the latest story from CNN that there was a woman that went on CNN and was talking about how she was forced to carry her fetus that had been pronounced dead for 2 weeks because of Texas law. I've been going back and forth with her on Twitter today. I've invited her to come on my program because the story just does not add up. Someone is lying, whether it be the doctor or this woman, and she wants to protect the doctor, which I find very odd because if you look at Texas law, there's a clear exception for women in her position for miscarriages. And it just seems, I don't know, very suspect. It's almost like there's an issue that they want to pretend actually exists when it doesn't, to push a political ideology.
It's almost like these people lie all the time. Sarah Gonzalez, The News and Why It Matters. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
All right. We have Light in the Mood next. Before we get to lighten the mood, let's talk about your home. You know your home has smells. My home has smells. Why? Well, we have smells. Human beings smell. You should smell our production staff. People smell. Dogs smell. Cooking smells. Everyone smells. You know Eden Pure Thunderstorm will take odors out of the air. I have people who've emailed me from taxidermy offices with all kinds of foul-smelling things in there that say the Eden Pure has taken all the odor out. Put it by a litter box. Put it where you sleep. Just go get yourself a few Eden Pure Thunderstorms and enjoy. You will thank me for it, trust me. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and the code Jesse gets you a 3-pack for $200 off. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back. I've always found the sign language people to be fascinating. I wish I knew sign language. The wife knows a little bit of it. I think it'd be cool to know, but I've always found it to be a fascinating thing to know. It'd be a cool skill to pick up. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to do it. And clearly the lady in the video we're about to show you didn't exactly pick it up either, but that's cool. It's cool. Before we play you that though, let me tell you real quickly. The medical industry, I know, is something that has been on your mind in the past 2 years. I don't know about you, but I personally have been horrified by so much of what I've seen. And so much of the horrible things we've seen from the medical community in the last 2 years, if you dig into it, you'll find out it comes from insurance companies. Insurance companies, insurance companies. You get a doctor complaining, you start digging in, he'll talk about insurance companies. Go to my.onesharehealth.com/Kelly and sign up. It's OneShare Health. It's a faith-based insurance company. They're so interested in doing the right thing. 5% of your monthly goes to veterans struggling with PTSD. All the coverage you need, great prices, 24/7, telehealth, vision, dental, whatever you need. my.onesharehealth.com/Kelly. Don't forget the promo code Jesse Kelly saves you some money. All right. Mad respect to the sign language lady who doesn't actually know sign language.
It's happened again. Another sign language interpreter accused of signing total gibberish. This time it was at the police news conference announcing an arrest in the Tampa serial killings.
We will be charging 4 counts of first degree murder.
Standing off to the side, apparently translating every word, this woman.
We received over 5,000 tips in this case.
But it turns out much of what she was signing was nonsense. She waved her arms around like she was singing Jingle Bells, says one outraged sign language expert. The woman, identified as Derlin Roberts, has a string of arrests for fraud. So how did she come to be translating at last week's high-profile police news conference?
I just didn't ask enough questions.
This latest embarrassment comes 3 months after it was revealed that the sign language interpreter at her Hurricane Irma news conference, also in Florida, made no sense.
The time to act is now.
Hegarty is summing up the latest goof.
We won't be using that woman again.
Cops say this was not a crime, but it was an ethical violation.
Come on, it's kind of funny. I'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.